Okay, we're back now with golf writer and sports historian Gary Larrabee. Gary, welcome back to MSO. How are you doing this hot week?
Always great to have you. Hey, it's what we pray for in February, and we're getting it now.
We're here, and it's in so many ways, things are just looking good, although I know some people get a little nervous with the heat. But I love it, man. This is doubleheader weather as far as I'm concerned.
It is, but it is extreme, and you know, us older folks really have to be careful. We called many of our friends and family this morning to remind them to stay very careful with the heat, and it's going to be severe for another 3 days, and as we speak on Monday, and boy, those people out in the West Coast, though, in the Pacific Northwest.
I can't even imagine. Triple digits for Portland, Oregon? That's crazy.
Yeah, anyways, it's the climate change thing is really happening, and here we are.
Yep. It's
anyways.
All right. So yeah, I know. We could go off on a tangent for a long time. Let's talk some golf, Gary. Very interesting golf this weekend at the PGA Tour.
Indeed. They had an 8-hole playoff at the Travelers down in Cromwell, Connecticut, and they've had two other 8-hole playoffs, believe it or not, in the history of the Travelers, which used to be the Greater Hartford Open, the Sammy Davis Greater Hartford Open, and Travelers is still a terrific sponsor to keep, and they just signed up to sponsor the tournament at least through 2030, so good news all around for New England golf fans and particularly Connecticut golf fans. But yesterday, they had an 8-hole playoff, which is, I'm sorry, Rick.
That's all right.
Excuse me. They had their, the second longest playoff in PGA Tour history. Harris English won, I believe, his third tour event, edging out a complete unknown, a tour rookie, Kramer Hickok. And they both made birdies on the last hole to force the playoff, and then they both made seven pars in a row till we got to the 8th hole, and that's where English finished it off. But the interesting thing from a local standpoint, Rick, about this wonderfully viewable playoff was the fact that they showed on TV on the CBS broadcast that one of the 8-hole playoffs prior involved Salem's Dick Hart, who back in 1965, just a few years ago, won an 8-hole playoff at the Azalea Open down in Wilmington, North Carolina, over Phil Rogers. And, of course, Phil Rogers is famous for, having lost several playoffs during his unique career and very successful career in the PGA Tour. But Dick Hart, who grew up at Wenham Country Club and lived in Salem, is part of PGA Tour history. That's the second longest. 8 holes is the second longest playoff. There was an 11-hole playoff many moons ago involving Kerry Middlecoff and Lloyd Mangrum, which I believe Mangrum won. But great golf history yesterday, great show, and great win for Harris English. We'll obviously hope to see more of Kramer Hickok, a very unique name, and it was another good day for the PGA Tour. Of course, you may have also recognized the tour official, the rules official, in the long dressed up white button down shirt with the tie on, who was running the playoff, and that was a relative local boy, Gary Young, who used to be the longtime head pro and golf director at Pleasant Valley out in Worcester, out in Sutton, who in 2007 was hired by the PGA Tour to become one of their rules officials. And here he is now in 15 years later, has been named the new chief rules official for the PGA Tour, which gives it quite a greater Boston flavor, with the tour commissioner, of course, being Jay Monahan from Winchester, and now we've got Gary Young from the Worcester area as the new chief rules official. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And enlighten me on the playoff system in golf, Gary, in the PGA. Is it a hole-by-hole playoff?
That's all. And
sudden death.
First play to win a hole wins the playoff. But okay. Boy, they each made seven pars and till we got to the 8th playoff hole. And, of course, they played the 17th and 18th holes back and forth a few times, and to accommodate the fans, and it was a great show. It didn't end until after 8 o'clock our time, but very, very entertaining, and another great, you know, great week for the Travelers and the folks in the Hartford area. They've had some fantastic playoffs over the year. One year, within the last 5 or 6 years, Jordan Spieth holed out on the last hole from the bunker. I think that was in the very last hole to win the tournament. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was a playoff, but great stuff in Connecticut. And for the week after the U.S. Open, they had a fantastic field. Brooks Koepka, everyone was there except the winner. The winner of the Open last week took the week off. Mm-hmm. Our dear friend, I'm drawing a blank.
I know, I am too. Ham Strom, what's his name? He's only the leader in the world. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Don't mind me. Mental block.
I'm there as well. You'll get it. You know, I'm looking at the scoreboard, and I don't know if there's any significance at all, but something like 15 out of the first 19 finishers, scores, are all Americans.
Yes, and that leads us to, that's a great segue to what happened on the LPGA Tour, the LPGA Championship this weekend down in Atlanta.
Is it Rahm? R-H-A-M? R-A-H-M? Rahm?
Of course, okay. Of course. Very good. Thank you for bailing me out.
Kearns would have been all over us.
John Rahm from Spain, the first Spaniard to win a U.S. Open, and one of our new favorite players. Anyway, new number one player in the year, but okay. Moving along to the LPGA Women's PGA Championship. That was won by her sister, Nellie Korda, who also won last week's LPGA tournament, and she became the first American to win the LPGA Championship in like 7 years.
Oh my, okay.
We've talked about the Asian women,
mm-hmm.
and other women from other parts of the world who have kind of dominated some of the major championships on the women's side. But Nellie Korda wins the second week in a row. And, of course, her older sister is Jessica, who at the age of 17 played in the Critters Cup in 2010 at Essex County Club in Manchester. And she's also become a top player out on the women's tour. And, of course, their father was a former well-known and successful international tennis tour player, but they've gone the golf route. It was obviously a very good decision because they're both doing big time stuff on the tour, on the LPGA tour, and she won again yesterday, second week in a row, and we have to keep an eye on those Korda sisters. They are starting to dominate the LPGA tour.
Yeah, she's very young, 22. I'm looking at the thing on the LPGA, and her parents, as you mentioned, good athletes, and originally from Czechoslovakia. So very interesting family tree there.
I'm sure they were dancing in the streets of Prague last night. Yes, indeed.
Never been there. Maybe someday.
I have. You great town. I'm telling you, it's a great European town. You'd love it.
Ah, everybody says that. Yeah, okay.
Prague and the Czech Republic. Go there someday. You will not regret it.
Okay.
Yeah,
Czech Republic now. All right. Okay, cool. Let me see here now. Let's bring it up closer to home now. What's coming up next week?
Before we even do that, if you'll allow me, we should mention Rob Oppenheim from Salem and Andover missed the cut in Cromwell, Connecticut at the Travelers. So it's back to work for Rob this week.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris, we're just a week away. The countdown begins for next week's 111th Massachusetts Amateur Championship taking place at Braben. We have a lot of local players involved. So we'll keep tabs on that starting next Monday. But looking ahead to a couple of last quick notes, Rick, we should talk about, you mentioned it earlier, we should talk about Russ Frable, the passing of Russ Frable at the age of 87, and Damus, former DMSI football coach who made big news when he came here from Ohio, from football crazy Ohio in 1966, and succeed in some ways in putting Damus football back on the football map, although it could have worked out better.
You know, he was a bit of an innovator over here, and it's tough when you come into a community that's established, like all the communities here on the North Shore. You know, they've been around a while. And it was fascinating to me to see as a high school student when he came in, and then later on to meet him at WESX. He helped us out over there. But changing the logo and the the mascot of Danvers High School football, I guess it's called, which turned out to be for the whole school. They were the Onion Towners originally?
It was, and Russ made a great decision, and the administrators who approved it made a great decision in changing that nickname to Falcons, which is a much more suitable high school athletic nickname, and it's carried a long ways for all the tremendously successful Danvers High athletic successful athletic programs over the years since then on both the boys and girls sides, and I guess that's Russ's maybe primary legacy, if you will, after 7 years as the head coach. They had a couple of great teams after a couple of shaky years to start. My father was on the selection committee to bring him from Ohio, and you know, we thought he would do for Danvers High football what Woody Hayes did for Ohio State football. Did quite their way, but he had two or three outstanding teams in the late 60s, including three teams that had a great chance to challenge Stan Bondilevich and the Swampscott powerhouse at the time. But the Danvers teams under Russ Frable could never get over that hump, could never defeat Swampscott, and that was probably one of the biggest regrets he had as the Danvers High coach. But nonetheless, he made his mark, Rick. And, you know, after 7 years, he left, went back to Ohio, coached the high school team out there for a couple of years, went 6-13, did not do well. But his wife convinced him to come back to Danvers, which he'd really fallen in love with Danvers. And they came back here and settled in for the rest of their years. Doris is still very much alive, his widow. But Russ is... gone on to that great coaching staff in the sky, I guess, and we certainly send all of our condolences out to the Frables.
Yeah, and he was, again, a great supporter of high school in the whole area. He did some analysis work for us for a while, and it was great learning from him. Fascinating and really, really good guy, so I'm glad you mentioned
him. And you may remember that 1 year he did, he was hired by Bill Bush over at Swampscott to be his defensive coordinator 1 year. I can't tell you what year it was. But they went 9-1 that year, Swampscott did, and Russ was the defensive coordinator, had a great year in that role. And that was a great way for him to probably bow out as a local football coach.
Absolutely. I'll be talking with Mike Grenier, I hope, later on. We're gonna try to talk I want to talk some NBA because I haven't really followed. Once the Celtics are out of it, I don't pay that close attention to it. But I'm fascinated by the workings of Brad Stevens and how the way the wheels are churning over there. You covered everything, didn't you, Gary, when you were at the Salem News?
Yeah, Mike and I spent quite a few. We spent 20 years covering the Celtics together, and
okay,
had a lot of fun doing it. So I had a lot of good experiences with the Celtics. But this new guy they've hired as the coach, Brad Stevens, may be a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone talks about him having a great background in San Antonio and elsewhere. He seemed to fill all the requisites that we thought that the team needed. And this fellow's relatively young but tremendously experienced. And if he can't get this program back on the big-time winning path, I'm not sure if anybody can.
Right, exactly. Well, Gary, any other thoughts from the sports world here? I know... go ahead.
Yes, Rick, thank you for asking. Just real quickly, sorry to cut you off, we should make note that Amy D'Agostino Cooper from Topsfield and Masconomet finished fourth last Monday night at the U.S. Track and Field Olympic Team Trials and out in the West Coast. She just missed qualifying for the Olympic team. She needed to finish third, but she may still go as an alternate. I'm not sure how that works. But a great effort by Amy, who of course had a terrible injury and major surgery a few years ago, but she's made a great comeback, and we were all rooting hard for her last night, and it didn't quite work out for her, but a great effort by Amy D'Agostino Cooper from Topsfield.
All right, that is Gary Larrabee, sports historian and golf writer with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.